This is Lasair Bradley, Jr., welcoming you to another broadcast of the Baptist Bible Hour. I know the concern about the coronavirus is uppermost in everybody's minds. I would ask you to join me as we begin today for a word of prayer. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the privilege of prayer, that Thou hast invited us to come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may find the help that we so desperately need. We pray that in this troubled time, Thou wilt give wisdom to our leaders, that You would give comfort to all who feel anxiety. We pray if it can be Thy sovereign pleasure that Thou would soon bring this virus to an end and that we might move forward being able to once more assemble as believers in our churches. We pray that Thou would supply the needs of this broadcast and hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Today we're going to bring you a message entitled, Great is Thy Faithfulness. We're trying to use messages at this time that would be reassuring and comforting in these difficult days. I hope that you will write us. Our mailing address is the Baptist Bible Hour, Box 17037, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45217.
Yeah. When we come to worship the Lord, we not only pray and preach, but we sing. And we don't sing just because somebody said, I think that'd be a good idea, be a nice addition to the worship service. We sing because we're admonished in Scripture to sing, making melody in our hearts unto the Lord, to sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. There are some in our book which are psalms set to the type of meter and music that we're able to sing, and some wonderful spiritual songs, some of them quite old, written back in the 16 or 1700s, and some more recently. From time to time, I've brought messages focused on a particular song. I think that when you are familiar with the tune and you know something of the words, and then you've heard a message connecting some of the biblical principles with those words, can be a special help to you. I want to talk today about the hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. It's not a real old one in comparison to Isaac Watts and John Newton and some of those from way back, but it certainly is a good hymn. Great is Thy Faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever will be. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to Thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Pardon for sin and peace that endureth, Thy own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, blessing all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning new mercies I see. All I have needed Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Our text is Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. Jeremiah, who penned these words, was obviously going through a very difficult time. He said in the earlier part of this chapter, He hath led me and brought me into darkness and not into light. He said, He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Also, when I cry and shout, He shutteth out my prayer. He hath bent His bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. He was in such darkness and despondency that he said in the 18th verse, My strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. That's about as low as you can get to say, I've reached the end. My hope is perished. But this I recall to mind, therefore have I hope. Just as he reached the bottom, he begins to think. He recalls some things that he had temporarily forgotten. And he recalled, well, it's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. I may be having a difficult time, but if it were not for the mercies of God, I would have been totally destroyed. His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. The hymn says, Thou changest not, Thy compassions they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever will be. So first we consider faithfulness is manifest by His compassion. God is full of compassion. Psalm 86, Verse 15. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. Isn't that good to know? That God is full of compassion. I'm sure we all have known individuals who demonstrated very little compassion, were harsh, hard-boiled, not understanding or trying to appreciate a situation in which another individual might be involved, to have compassion on them. Psalm 111, verse 4. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. It's not just that he is compassionate, but he's full of compassion. It's not difficult for him. He doesn't struggle with an inclination to do something else. It's his very nature to be compassionate. And indeed, he has been very compassionate with his people. Psalm 78, verse 37, describing the condition of Israel in times of old, it says, for their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. They didn't keep his covenant. They didn't obey him. They didn't honor him. Their heart was not right. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he away his anger and did not stir up all his wrath. That's amazing, isn't it? To think that God, holy, perfect as he is, would have such compassion for a people though their heart was not right with him. Now, obviously, his compassion does not excuse their rebellion and their disobedience. But it certainly encourages us to know that when we have failed, when we have missed the mark, when we see our own sin and become discouraged by it, that there's hope for us. Because God forgave their sin. He didn't destroy them. Where would we be if God dealt with us strictly on the basis of justice? There was no mercy. According to what we deserve by human nature, by our own human failures, by the fact that we sometimes have had a downright rebellious spirit. We might not want to identify it as that, but when the Lord gives specific instruction about what we ought to do, how we ought to live, how we ought to conduct ourselves, and we do just something else, what is that? Blatant rebellion. And these people had rebelled against the Lord. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. He remembered their condition. He remembered, yes, these are a rebellious people. Their heart is not right. They have miserably failed, but they are flesh. They are weak, and he was compassionate. Psalm 103, verse 10. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Cannot every one of us here today say, that's the case with me? If God had rewarded me according to my sin, if he had dealt with me on the basis of things that I have done I shouldn't have done, things that I have thought that I shouldn't have thought, attitudes I've had that I shouldn't have had, blatant sinful actions, if he had dealt with me accordingly, where would I be? Probably wouldn't be here today. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. It's not just a small amount of mercy. It's not something that's insignificant. But as heaven is high above the earth, this is a gigantic measure. This is a tremendous portion of mercy. Mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he hath removed our transgressions from us. Have you ever had the situation where you've gone to the Lord and confessed your sin? You might even have read the promise in the book of 1 John that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you confessed. And you said, Lord, I'm claiming your promise. I believe it. I believe you'll forgive me. And the next day, you're back fretting over the same sin, thinking, I wonder if the Lord really did forgive me. How could he have forgiven me? Particularly if you've fallen into the same sin again. Say, I don't know if I ought to keep going to the Lord and asking for help and asking for forgiveness. But look what he says. He's done with your sin. Cast it as far as the east is from the west. Totally removed it. Can't be found anymore. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. Now, once again, I emphasize the point. These verses are obviously not there to make us feel we can just get by with sin, or that God is not offended by our sin, or that it really is not all that significant. Sin is a dreadful thing. It's an affront to a holy God. It grieves our Heavenly Father. It grieves the Holy Spirit when we sin. But he does remember that we're but dust. And like a father pitieth his children, sees that child struggling, sees that child maybe with good intentions trying to accomplish something worthwhile but failing over and over again. He pities us. And it's not with a pity of scorn. You'll hear that terminology where a person will say, well, I pity that individual, but it's looking upon them with disdain. When God pities his children, it's a pity of love. He understands their weakness. He understands their struggles. He's compassionate even when he chastises us. Back in Lamentations chapter 3, Jeremiah says in the verse 31, Jeremiah 3:31, for the Lord will not cast off forever. When the child of God is being chastened, he feels to be separated from the Lord. He feels for a time to be cast off. Jeremiah is not the only one that talked about that. David and Asaph and others that wrote the Psalms spoke of it repeatedly. But though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. Chastening is unpleasant. Hebrews 12 tells us, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So the Lord is chastening us. It's painful. It's difficult. We feel that perhaps he's cast us off. He will not hear our prayer. But even when he chastens us, it's for our good. And in the process, he is compassionate. Though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. Faithfulness is manifest by his compassion. Then the hymn says, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Secondly, then we consider that faithfulness is demonstrated in his consistency. Mercies are new every morning. Maybe as the alarm goes off in the morning, and maybe you've punched the snooze alarm a couple of times and you're beginning to run late and you're frustrated and you don't have too many worthwhile thoughts at that moment. But it might be good to plan ahead that I'm going to try to think about something worthwhile when I get up in the morning. And realize this is a new day and his mercies are new. By his mercy, he spared me through the night. I'm still here. I'm still alive. I'm still breathing. I didn't die in my sleep. The house didn't catch on fire. Nobody broke in to rob us. No great catastrophe befell us. Lord, you've been merciful to us. Merciful through the night. To give thanks. Having a thankful heart at the beginning of every new day. Lord, this is a day in which you've allowed me to live and be here another time. Help me to use my time wisely. Help me, Lord, to face whatever challenges are out there in a way that will redound to your honor. Whatever difficulties may come, that I may serve thee and honor thee. He provides for us. All that I have needed, thy hand hath provided. He provides for us on a daily basis. Jesus taught in the model prayer, Matthew chapter 6, verse 11, to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." How often do you really pray that prayer? Aren't you more prone to pray, "Lord, give us our yearly bread"? I'd like to get it at least a year in advance, and maybe more long range than that if possible. I like to look down the way and have a sense of security. I want to feel like I've got everything in its place. I've got my retirement taken care of. I've got my hospitalization taken care of. I've got my savings. I want to feel good about the future. I'm sure that desire is in all of us. But the Lord hadn't promised to give it to us in big chunks. He hasn't promised what he's going to provide for you 5 years down the road, because you may not be here and you won't need it. So he's just going to promise you what you need today. And he says, furthermore, in the 30th verse, "Wherefore God, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall ye eat, or what shall ye drink, or wherewithal shall ye be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things." Who is the one that's looking after you, caring for you, providing for you? It's your Father, your heavenly Father. Verse 34, "Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Mercies are new every morning and on a daily basis. He promises us ongoing benefits, but they're not stored up. They are brought to you as you need them. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6 says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, that we may boldly say, the Lord is our helper." This is God's promise. "All that I have needed, thy hand hath provided." I need thy presence. I need thy help. Paul said in Philippians 4, 19, "My God shall supply all your need." That doesn't mean all your wants, all of your ambitions. I will supply all your need. Whatever we really need, whatever is absolutely necessary, whatever is for our good and to the glory of God, he says, I will provide it. He is faithful. His faithfulness is demonstrated by his consistency in that he continues to watch over us, to stay with us, not to forsake us, to supply our needs. And even at those times when we falter, he is faithful. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, "If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful." That verse doesn't suggest that unbelievers, those who have never believed on Jesus Christ as Savior, are still under the grace and care of God. He's talking to his people. Are there not times in your experience where you falter? Sometimes when you hear a message that's uplifting and you hear about the power of God and the wonderful promises that he has made, and you rejoice and you're lifted up. You read the scripture and you say, "Yes, I believe God just gave me that promise today. That's what I needed right now, and he gave it to me." And you're indeed claiming those promises as your own. And then you go through some dark days and some tough times, and you are really struggling. Satan is attacking you, and you could read the greatest promise ever made and say, I don't even know if that's for me. I don't get any comfort out of it today. I think I'm having trouble believing it. I know it's in the Bible. I say I believe the Bible, but I'm having a tough time laying hold of this promise. Momentarily, for short intervals of time, you don't believe the promise. But if we believe not, he abides faithful. Has the Lord been faithful to you over and over again when you have stumbled and faltered? Your faith has not been strong. You've had to say with the man who came to Jesus wanting deliverance for his son, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. That has to be our cry over and over again. And then the hymn says, summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love.
All of us who believe in the true and living God know that God is faithful and his promises are reliable. But it's good to be reminded. And so as we've looked at this text in the book of Lamentations, we're reminded once again that God does not change and his compassions do not fail. Hope you'll join us at this same time tomorrow. And until then, this is Lasaire Bradley Jr. bidding you goodbye, and may God bless you.
This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior.